And then, of course, the mansion catches fire. It catches fire in the parable at a certain time, but in reality, the mansion of the world is on fire all the time. All the time it's burning, all the time it's blazing. Now, fire is a well-known symbol in Buddhism. In fact, it's a symbol in Indian religion generally. Some of you may remember that not long after his enlightenment, the Buddha gave what is called the fire sermon, a sermon on fire. It is said that he led all his disciples to the top of a hill one night, and he addressed them, saying, "The whole world is on fire. The whole world is ablaze. The whole world is burning." And with what is it ablaze? With what is it on fire? With what is it burning? And he said, it's burning with the fire of craving, of neurotic desire, burning with the fire of anger, hatred and aggression, burning with the fire of ignorance, delusion, bewilderment, confusion, unawareness. And this just wasn't an idea or a concept in the Buddha's mind. He surely saw it as though in a vision, just like this. And it may well be that when he went to the top of this hill with his disciples, it may well be that before he spoke, he had been looking out, looking down, maybe into the jungles, and it may be that he saw there, as you can sometimes see nowadays, a forest fire burning and blazing in the distance. And then he may have seen, in his spiritual vision as it were, not just the forest burning, but the houses burning, the people burning, the mountains burning, the earth burning, the sun, the moon, the stars, everything burning, everything conditioned burning with these threefold fires of craving, of anger, and delusion. Fire, we know, is not just even in Buddhism a negative, but also a positive symbol. Fire is associated with change. In fact, fire is itself change. It's a process of combustion. And it's not just a process of change, not just a symbol of change, it's a process also of transformation. And fire is therefore in Indian thought, Indian religion, Indian spiritual life, Indian art, a symbol not just of destruction, but also of renewal, of rebirth, spiritual rebirth. Going back to Vedic times, times even before the Buddha, we know that fire was used in sacrifice. The ancient Indians, the ancient Hindus offered sacrifice. They laid an offering, an oblation, on a specially constructed altar, an altar built of turfs or built of bricks, and that was burned. It was consumed by fire. And being consumed by fire, what happened to that offering, to that oblation? It was transformed into smoke, and as smoke it ascended into the heavens, into the sky, ascended to the gods. In other words, with the help of fire, by means of fire, that gross offering, material offering, laying on the altar, was transformed into something less gross, into something subtle, into a higher form, if you like, in this case, into smoke. Similarly, we find in ancient India, as in modern India, that cremation was practiced. That dead bodies were not buried in the earth, were not chopped up as in Tibet into pieces, but were laid on a pyre of logs. Those logs were set fire to and the corpse was burned, reduced to ashes. And according to the Vedic, the pre-Buddhistic teaching, the physical body was reduced to ashes, but what happened to the more subtle part, to what they thought of then as the soul or the self? Well, it went either to the moon or to the sun, the ancient Indians believed. It went either to the world of the fathers or to the world of the gods. But in any case, cremation represented, as it were, a transformation of what was gross into something subtle. And then again we find that traditionally in India, the cremation ground, the place where corpses, where dead bodies are burned, are cremated, the cremation ground is the abode of the god Shiva. And Shiva is the Hindu god of destruction, of death. He's the destroyer. In Hinduism, you've got three great gods, the Trimurti, the three deities, if you like. There's Brahma, the creator, Vishnu, the preserver, and then thirdly and lastly, the Shiva, the destroyer, the god of destruction, who brings everything to an end, who tramples upon the whole universe and who destroys it at the end of the kalpa, the end of the age. But Shiva is also the god of transformation, of spiritual rebirth. Because before you can build up, you must break down. So Shiva represents this process, this spiritual process of breaking down and also building up, of death, destruction, and also life and spiritual rebirth. And then again we find in Tibetan Buddhism not only peaceful deities, Buddhas and Bodhisattvas with peaceful expressions, smiling expressions, we find also what are called the wrathful deities. Buddha and Bodhisattva forms, dark blue in color, starkly and strongly built, with glaring eyes and long red tongues and white tusks, and clad in elephant's hides and tiger skins and dancing in fury. And we find that they are surrounded very often by a halo of flames. And what does this represent? What does this symbolize? Well, the same sort of thing. Here, the flames symbolize the transformation of the gross into the subtle, the unconscious into consciousness. And the particular wrathful form, whether Buddha or Bodhisattva, represents this sort of fiery breaking through of the spirit of enlightenment through the darkness of the ignorance of the world.